Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today, we're going to take a journey to Hilo, Hawaii, and our guests are Richard Ostreicher and Bob Sleesman. Richard was born in Plainview, New York, and began his professional career at the Yale School of Drama and Yale Repertory Theater. He went on to being the first managing director of the Portland Stage Company, Maine's first resident professional theater. The early 80s HIV/AIDS crisis inspired him to partner with New York City-based pioneers in HIV/AIDS patient care and research that was published in notable medical journals and tests. This life-changing experience led him to enroll in medical school at the age of 29. He returned to Yale in 1988 as a resident in internal medicine and then to NYU as a resident in dermatology. He has over 35 years of medical experience in the San Francisco Bay Area and was assistant professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. He's currently a volunteer physician with Hawaii's Big Island Medical Reserve Corps and resides near Hilo, Hawaii with his husband, Bob Sleesman. Bob is originally from upstate New York. His professional brand marketing career led him over the years to reside in the San Francisco Bay Area, Chicago, Cincinnati, Baltimore, and Sarasota. He currently is gleefully retired. Gleefully. I like that. I'm going to be gleefully retired soon and living on Hawaii's Big Island with his husband, Rich. After earning his MBA at Northwestern University's prestigious Kellogg School, he climbed the corporate brand management ladder at such companies as Procter & Gamble, Clorox, Ghirardelli Premium Chocolate. Love that chocolate. Having developed an expertise in strategic brand design, he jumped into the branding agency business and consulted with a multitude of well-known consumer brands for the balance of his career. These days, Bob paddles recreationally with an outrigger canoe crew, travels the world on new adventures, tends to the tropical garden, and loves the day-to-day life in Hawaii. Well, with that said, welcome, men. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for coming and taking the time to be on this podcast. And tell us a little bit about Hilo, why you decided, where did you live before, and what just made you move to Hilo, and how long have you been there?
Well, we both lived in the San Francisco Bay Area for many, many years, and I had come to the Big Island with some friends on a vacation back in 2006. And I fell in love with the island because I'm very much into horticulture, tropical plants, and the like. And when I saw the verdant areas of the Hilo area, green and lots of waterfalls, I knew that this was a place that I might want to be when I finally retired from the Bay Area. We moved here full-time when we retired from our positions in the Bay Area in 2015. So we actually had the property from 2006 to 2015 before we came here and built our dream house.
So, okay, Richard, so when you came on vacation, were you with Bob at the time?
No, this is pre-Bob.
Pre-Bob, okay.
Pre-Bob. I came with some good friends who had purchased some land here sight unseen, and they wanted to check it out, and I came with them. And their land was not up to par by their standards, but I fell in love with the island, and I came back and found this wonderful piece of property. And then when Bob and I got together shortly thereafter, I asked Bob if he would be interested in moving to Hawaii someday. And he said,
absolutely, because what Rich didn't know is after college, I had lived in Sarasota, Florida for about 8 years. So give me a palm tree, give me an ocean, and I'm good. So it's a very easy thing to agree to.
Yes, yes. And Hawaii is, to me, it's a lot more beautiful than Florida is.
Yeah, yeah, without all the baggage.
Yes, exactly, exactly. That's the best part of it. So tell us, where is Hilo? Where is it located? And tell us a little bit about the climate as well.
Well, Hilo is on the east side of the Big Island of Hawaii, which is the most easterly of all the Hawaiian islands. The climate is tropical, more or less. The average temperature here, I believe, is about 82 degrees Fahrenheit year-round. So we're very happy about that. We don't have air conditioning in our house. We don't have heat in our house. We don't need it.
Wow.
We simply open up our French doors, our sliders, and we have wonderful trade winds that make the house nice and cool and in the summer and warm in the winter, and it's truly paradise.
You're very close to the equator here. Everybody thinks that Hawaii is off the coast of, say, San Diego or something. We're much further south. We're off the coast of Mexico.
Okay.
So the temperatures don't change that much through the year.
I believe we're 19 degrees away from the equator.
So 82 degrees all year round. That is like San Diego temperature, only it's not as dry.
Oh, not at all. We're actually very humid.
Yeah.
Which is an issue. And we do get a lot of rain, which is what makes this side of the island so green.
Yeah.
We live actually north of Hilo in an area called the Hamakua Coast. And it's basically most of the east side of the Big Island. And that's where you see all the beautiful waterfalls and the lush forests. It's really something to see.
Wow. And 82 degrees all year round. So you don't need heat or air. That's pretty cool.
I'll tell you, our wardrobe consists of and shorts and flip-flops, or as it's referred to here, slippers. We don't wear shoes. I haven't worn shoes in I don't know how long.
And a closet full of wild colored Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. You can't ask for better weather. So let me see. So it's very humid. Do you sweat at all?
It's not humid like in the Northeast or something like that. It's just there's a fundamental moisture in the air.
It's not sticky. Right.
Having grown up in the Northeast, those summers were just
miserable.
Miserable humidity. This is just kind of more, there's just a lot of moisture in the air, which it's not uncomfortable in any way, shape, or form.
And it's great for your skin.
Oh, yeah. You don't need that oil of Olay. We do here in Phoenix. Everything is dry.
Yep.
Very dry.
Okay. The Big Island is very interesting in that there are many different microclimates. If you do want very dry, beach-like, desert-like, you can go to the other side of our island, the Kona side, which we don't find particularly attractive, but it has wonderful beaches. White sand beaches, black sand beaches, and even a green sand beach, thanks to olivine, which is a mineral found there. We have climates on the Big Island ranging from Arctic to desert.
There's a huge volcano, several of them, but there's a huge one. Mauna Kea is very famous. It's like 14,000 feet at the peak. In the winter, there's actually snow on top of it.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's...
Microclimates.
Yeah.
You name it, we got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Maui dry in comparison because of the fires?
Well, Maui is in some ways similar to the Big Island in that the east side of Maui is wetter than the west side. And the reason for that is Maui has a large volcano as well, Haleakala. which essentially traps the moisture on the east side. Unfortunately, the west side doesn't get the moisture because of that blockage. And consequently, it's dry and they're having a drought, which is, as we know, horrible at the moment.
Yeah, devastating. Okay. So, guys, is there such thing as an LGBTQ community at all in the area that you live in? Or is it live and let live? Do people even care? Are there gay bars at all?
The situation is this. First of all, I think there's only three Republicans in the state of Hawaii. Fundamentally, a very Democratic state. It's as good as you can get. The whole aloha thing is more than just a nifty greeting. It's really a spirit of, we all live out here in this lump of lava in the middle of the Pacific. Everybody takes care of each other, that type of thing. So everything's very welcoming, no matter what your persuasion is. There's really not, on this island, there's two small gay bars on the Kona side of the island. But how you meet your gay friends is, it's all a big network. The nickname for it out here is the Coconut Wireless. And so somebody, you meet somebody who's gay and they're like, they have you over and then they introduce you to their friends and blah, blah, blah. And so it's really a networking type of thing. But it was an interesting article in the New York Times. Oh, goodness.
A few years ago.
Like 2014. And it was when we were deciding if we wanted to truly live here full time versus part time. And it was 10 places that are more gay than you think they are, than they should be, or something like that, or would be. And the Big Island was one of them.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's a networking thing. There is a, for the size of the population, more gay men than you would think. But you have to find them.
Well, but there are also gay networks, gay potlucks, gay volleyball parties. People tend to invite their friends. And so consequently, there is a rather large gay network here, and everyone brings their buddies in.
Yep. And so it's all, you have the group, like we have groups here in Phoenix. It's right. Basically the same thing, how you network with others. By the way, remind me, like your friends with our friends, Alan and David.
Yes.
How did you meet?
We met them on the river cruise. We took a Brand G river cruise.
That's right.
In France.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Great guys.
Yep. It's a shout out to them. So, okay. So Hilo doesn't have particularly any type of gay community or gayborhood,
no.
So to speak.
No, Hilo reminds me of a small town that I spent my summers in when I was a kid. Just, it's an old community. It's what a lot of people here say, it's what Hawaii, true Hawaii, looked like 50 years ago.
Oh, wow.
That is cool. It is not a tourist location. Tourists tend to go to the fancy resorts on the Kona side.
Yeah.
Or to the fancier Maui or Oahu, Honolulu. But tourists don't tend to come to Hilo, although we have some wonderful, wonderful amenities. We have the Volcano National Park, and we have a world-class botanical gardens.
Hmm.
So we always have places to bring our friends and guests when they come to visit. But for the most part, tourists don't tend to come here very often.
That's kind of a good thing. It's relaxing. I mean, you want to live in your home. You don't want to be bothered by tourists. You'd rather interact with locals. I get it.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So is it easy, I guess, to make friends? How do you reach out to other people, or people kind of like to themselves?
It is truly about networking. Because all you have to meet is 1, 2, 3, 4 people, and then they introduce you. People tend to, but this is an important point. People tend to entertain here at home Okay, so that's how our network was built, was we would entertain people here, we get invited to their home, you meet somebody new. It's just how that goes.
Yeah.
I would say that our, at least my social life, is a lot busier here than it was in the Bay Area, believe it
or
not. I mean, we have developed close relationships with really wonderful people, both gay and straight here.
Yeah, I think that's another important element. First of all, nobody really cares that you're gay. They just don't. I mean, we have probably as many straight friends that we're close to as gay friends. I mean,
that's the way it should be.
Yeah. My theory is you got to be a little off center to want to live on a lump of lava in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, 5-hour flight to the nearest piece of mainland anything. And so a special kind of person who wants to live here.
We're all nuts.
Yeah.
I love the lump of lava. I love it.
Remote places on the face of the earth. So everybody just gets on.
And we don't have theater. We don't have symphony.
A little.
We have a little bit of theater. We have some wonderful community theater, which is true. Yeah. But we don't have the amenities that you would find in San Francisco or Manhattan.
I mean, basically, you got a big name entertainment comes to Honolulu.
Yeah.
And so if something big's going to happen, it happens over there. So you jet over, see it, that type of thing.
So
then home.
Yeah.
And we have our friends, and our friends become our family. And it's much more satisfying than a superficial relationship that you might have with someone you see once every 6 to 12 months back in a big city.
Right, right. So is it rural where
yes.
you are? Totally
yes.
rural? Okay.
Yes.
So how long does it take to get to like the nearest supermarket?
20-25 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Not bad.
No. And we have electricity, and yes, we have Wi-Fi, and
we have indoor plumbing.
Even.
I was going to say indoor plumbing, yeah. Your toilet bowl work?
We have toilets and everything.
Okay.
We don't have to start our fire with sticks and all that.
So tell our audience, what's the local economy like? Is it expensive? I mean, I know Hawaii in general is expensive because everything has to be sent in from the mainland. But yeah, what's your local economy like? Can you provide some examples of what's a home go for?
That's a good question. That really depends where you are on the island. It really depends.
I should say that Hawaii is expensive, but the Big Island where we are is probably the least expensive of the Hawaiian islands. That said,
okay,
Bob is right. There are areas on the Big Island that are very fancy, like the Kona side. Celebrities will live there, whatever.
Easily a couple of million, do something elaborate, but probably even just nice 2-3-bedroom home is probably $1 million.
And how about on your side?
Maybe a titch less than that.
It used to be much less than that. And you could be able to get a really wonderful place for less than $500,000.
Not anymore
because of COVID. When COVID happened, all of a sudden, people on the mainland were going crazy and they wanted to get out of the cities. And so they were buying property up here, sight unseen. And realtor friends of ours said that they were just selling stuff
over a million dollars,
which doesn't make sense, really.
It's crazy.
The prices are coming down.
And I think there's a salute to the government, the state government, when being an island, or being a chain of islands, when they finally realized really what COVID was, they just pulled up the drawbridge. Tourists don't come. And so they were really, really strict about it. And so the COVID numbers out here were much lower than on the mainland. And so people who had resources were buying stuff out here just because they could and work remotely and all that type of thing. So
of course, they still couldn't get here.
Well, yeah,
right.
I mean, they can.
Now they can.
Yeah. I would say the economy is obviously tourism driven, no shock there, and to a lesser extent agricultural. Yeah, because there's, and
I would say our side of the island is very agricultural. Yeah.
So that's kind of what drives the economy. The cost of living, yes, everything has to be shipped in. The biggest surprise out here, on every island, Costco has one or two outlets, and somehow they figured out how to sell pretty much at mainland pricing. Like, they still have the $4.99 chicken.
Wow.
And so everybody
gets their chickens.
But you don't buy at Costco. You buy everything you can there. If you can't find it there, you go to Target, because we have the huge Target stores, and they're pretty reasonable. Then after that, you've got to go to
the
big grocery stores.
Yeah, or farmers markets, where we grow a lot of stuff. Yes.
Well, I was going to say, since you're so agricultural, you would think that you can get your fresh vegetables or some fruits in the market for cheaper than,
I mean, we on our property, we grow bananas, lychee, rambutan, turmeric.
Wow.
Neighbors grow Okinawan sweet potatoes. We have no shortage of tropical fruits, mangoes, papaya.
Coconut.
Coconuts, yeah. We don't grow coconuts on our property because we're at a little bit of elevation and they tend to do better
further down.
But we grow a lot of stuff ourselves.
Now, since you don't have air conditioning or heat, that must be an enormous savings.
Yeah.
As far as utility bills are concerned, you're not paying anything really in utility, right? Except for, you need electric.
We do need, here's the scoop. We have solar power during the day, but we chose not to have batteries to store the solar power. So we have the grid at night, if that makes sense. Yeah. So we have a much lesser electric bill because we're mostly solar, but we have the electric grid when we need it. It clicks in.
Give me an example, just out of curiosity. What do you pay a month in electric?
Oh, about anywhere from $150 to $200.
Okay.
I will say that the grid prices, the HELCO prices, which is Hawaii Electric, are, I think, the most expensive in the U.S.
Oh, wow.
But most of us have solar, at least during the day, and some people just live on solar power. When we first moved here, when we were building our house, we were living in a neighbor's stable, believe it or not, with six horses, and we lived on solar power completely, which is something that's very common here and very easy to do.
The other thing is most people have catchment for water and then your own filtration system. So our entire roof, there isn't a drop of rain that doesn't touch our roof that doesn't end up in a 10,000-gallon tank under the house. Because the other thing is water can be a little pricey, but that's why everybody has a catchment system.
We pay nothing.
So we pay nothing for water.
So the rainwater goes to on your roof, which filters into your filtration system, which turns into drinking water?
It's the purest you can drink.
Wow.
We have a whole mission control down in our storage area with all kinds of filters and ultraviolet, you name it.
That must be really tasting fresh.
It is. It's really good water.
I'm used to good water. I'm used to New York water. So when I lived in New York, that's how they make a good bagel.
Yeah.
which I miss.
Yeah, the water is good in New York, but the pipes,
maybe not so good. So, okay. How about gas bills? Do you get a lot of, do you have gas in your house?
Propane.
You buy tanks?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they come and fill it.
Yeah.
And it's usually like $4.50 to $5 a gallon of propane.
Yeah, that's not much.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's pretty good. How about real estate taxes? Are they high?
Oh, my God. No.
No?
Oh, a fraction of what we paid in the Bay Area.
Really?
I think when we moved here, the taxes were $800 a year.
Well, that was
800.
Yeah,
that was before the house.
Before the house. Now it's like 3,000.
3,000.
Okay. Well, I'm in a condo in Phoenix, and I'm close to 3,000.
Yeah.
And how big is your house?
3,000 square feet.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
And we're on six acres.
That's a way big difference.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Sounds good. So does Hilo have any type of arts and culture scene? Where would you go? Do you have to like travel for it or?
There's a really good community theater, and it's like, and I know when you say community theater, you go, well, there's like some, you'd be surprised. There's some notable people with some serious Broadway or traveling, what have you,
who work film experience,
who work with the community theater people. Mm-hmm. And they do two or three like truly outstanding full up performance or different plays or musicals. They just did a outstanding Avenue Q cabaret.
Wow.
And it gets very much support. They usually have to run extra performances, that type of thing. So that's right, like a half an hour away from us. But I mean, for other for name entertainment, as I think I mentioned, it's Honolulu has a couple of really nice theaters, a big arena that can get the really big acts. And Maui also has outdoor concerts.
Hey, we even got Randy Rainbow here.
Yeah,
he was here too.
Final tour stop was in Honolulu. So, I mean, it's out here. It's sometimes you have to bounce between the islands.
How long does it take you to get to Honolulu?
An hour flight.
An hour flight. And it's $39 each way usually.
Yeah.
The inter-island flights are really reasonable.
Little puddle jumpers.
Yeah. No, they're real jets.
They're jets?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm better with that.
It's just terrific. We love that.
Oh, I'm better with that. I don't like the prop jobs.
It's a real jet.
Good.
We've taken them, the props.
Yeah, I've taken them too.
Yeah.
How about restaurants? Do you have restaurants in Hilo, or do you have to go... You have to travel half an hour or so to get to decent restaurants?
Well, we have excellent restaurants in Hilo. And yeah, that's about 20 to 30 minutes away, but they're outstanding. And if you want even fancier restaurants, the Kona side of the island,
where the big resorts are.
Has world-class restaurants, Four Seasons, etc. And of course, Honolulu has, amazing
everything
you can want.
And one of the things we learned when we first got here, having come from, San Francisco, super foodie town, easy to be a food snob without even trying there. And so when we got here, besides the, nicer places, what we found is that actually these little bare table places on like a side street or whatever, they'd walk by in San Francisco going, those actually are amazing.
Mom and pop places.
Amazing Thai food, Chinese food, Japanese food. Go down the list. And so there's the fancy places in Hilo. There's also the bare table on a side street that are absolutely delicious.
So you don't have to resort to chain restaurants and Applebee's and stuff.
Oh, God.
No, God, no. Although I will tell you, you really can't get a decent bagel in Hilo, okay?
You can't get a decent bagel, I don't think, in anywhere but New York.
Yeah, we get ours from Costco, and that's the best we can do.
Yeah, I haven't tried Costco bagels, but Phoenix bagels, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's all about the water.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, great restaurants, not too far. How long does it take to get to the Kona side?
About an hour. Our favorite beach is an hour and 15 minutes away.
Is that flying or driving?
It's driving.
Right? Okay.
It's just a small cove where the trees go directly out to the water, so there's plenty of shade. I am a dermatologist, remember, so that's important to me.
Yeah.
And the water is spectacular. That's our favorite beach. There's lots of beaches all over the place here. Black sand, green sand, white sand.
Yeah. I mean, I think
black sand, I've never seen a black sand beach.
Yeah, it's well, lava, go figure.
It's crushed lava. Yeah.
All right. So arts and culture, restaurants, local economy, not too bad. It's sounding good. It's sounding good. No wonder why you moved there. Is there any type of public transportation on the island?
There is, but it's not something that we use in general.
You need a car.
Yeah.
We live 3 miles up from the main road. There is no public transportation that goes up to our house. The main highway has the bus that is free, actually, and it goes around the perimeter of the entire island. But I wouldn't rely on it. You need a car.
You could die of old age waiting for the bus to come. You just need a car.
What's gas like? Gas prices. What is it a gallon these days?
Cheapest at Costco, it's about $4.59, I think.
Yeah.
That's $4.50, $4.60.
That's
like
probably
that.
What we're paying. We're right around there, too. Yeah. Somewhere around there, $4.49.
I mean, I've seen it cheaper times, but it's about that.
Yep. Got it. Okay. How about crime? Is there any crime to speak of? Violent crime, petty crime, local house break-ins?
We haven't had any problem. I mean, one of the reasons that we moved from the Bay Area, frankly, was because of the crime. There were a lot of home invasion robberies in our neighborhood, and that was really creepy. And I was always afraid. I had been the victim of a crime years ago in New Haven, and I never wanted to experience that again. And fear, it doesn't seem to be an issue at all.
Great. Yep, that's one of the things we look at to make sure if we're ever moving to some place is checking out what the crime situation is like. It's always important, especially if I want to walk my dog out and I have to take him out at 2 a.m. I want to be safe. I don't want to feel like I have to look over my shoulder and there's somebody out there that's not desirable, let's say. How about homeless population? Is there a homeless issue?
There is in Hilo itself, just like any other city. It's not out of control. I mean, when we left the Bay Area and there were homeless encampments everywhere. And now, yeah, there are a few people in Hilo Town, but in general, certainly not where we are. We're very rural, so it's not an issue here.
Right. Got it. Okay. Tell us about the healthcare. What type of healthcare is there? How close are you to the hospitals?
There are 3 major hospitals on the Big Island. And the largest is in Hilo, which is about 20 to 25 minutes away. I can tell you it's excellent as a hospital. If you need an emergency room, it's top-notch. In terms of healthcare, there are really 2 avenues to go. The first is Kaiser Permanente, which has 3 clinics in Hilo, Kona, and Waimea, and is also throughout the Hawaiian Islands. I find Kaiser to be excellent. Not full disclosure, I worked for Kaiser in the Bay Area and here as well. And so I'm a proponent of the Kaiser model. The good thing about Kaiser is that if you need a cardiologist, there's a cardiologist. If you need a urologist, there's one. If they don't have one on the island, then you are flown to another island or the main island of Oahu to Honolulu, where the major Kaiser hospital is located. And they will fly you and your partner as well if it's needed. The other option is with HMSA, which is essentially Blue Cross. And the problem there is you have to find your own physicians. And there is a doctor shortage in all of Hawaii, and also, of course, on the Big Island. So if you need a cardiologist, you may have trouble finding a cardiologist. That's why we go to Kaiser, because no shortage of doctors there. They will get you the doctor you need.
So let's say you needed to see a specialist. What is the wait time usually to see a specialist?
Depends. I really haven't found that to be a problem. I mean, Bob had a problem. He fell and he hurt his knee, and he was in to see the orthopedist and then the surgeon, and within a week or two.
That's not bad. That's pretty good.
And the thing about, at least with Kaiser, I can speak to Kaiser, is that you have a primary care doctor who works with you. If you have a serious problem, you will be seen. And it's urgent care that day, or they will make sure that you are seen. If you have just a routine, not very serious problem, yeah, you may have to wait a little bit for a routine kind of checkup or whatever. Maybe, a couple of weeks. But for anything that is urgent, you will be seen. Take care of it.
That's
good.
And
I really can't speak to HMSA because, again, you have to find your doctor.
Right, right. Okay. It's always good to know, moving to a place, how long your waits are and what type of health care and medical care you're going to receive. That's one of the most important things, I think, in moving to a place. You want to be sure of that. Okay. And so how far, you said a half an hour away is the hospital?
Yeah, 20 to 30 minutes away.
Okay. I think my rule is that you have to have, it has to be within 40 to 45 minutes.
It would be great if hospitals were right next door. But
right.
Many people complain that.
But it is what it is.
Even when we lived in the Bay Area, the major hospital with traffic and everything is probably half an hour.
Right. Gotcha. So is there anything that you had elsewhere that you don't have in Hilo that you would like besides a bagel?
Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's. You don't have Trader Joe's?
We don't have Trader Joe's. We would love for them to come here.
Oh, I go. We'll have to make sure they listen to this podcast.
Someone talk to the people at Trader Joe's. Get them over here. When we go back to the Bay Area or to the mainland anywhere, we always bring an empty suitcase so that we can bring 50 pounds of Trader Joe's thing. We don't even know what we're putting in the suitcase. We just throw it in the suitcase.
Just load it up.
Yep.
Load it up.
We love Trader Joe's. Shout out to them. They should pay us something.
They should. They should give you a commission. Okay. Anything else that you miss that you don't have on the island that you might have elsewhere?
We miss our friends, but you know what?
They all come visit. Your popularity soars when you move to Hawaii. You'd be shocked.
Yeah. It's like, oh, Hawaii. Beautiful. Yeah. Let me come, get some sunshine. By the way, is it raining now there?
It's raining. Pouring at the moment.
That's what I kind of heard in the background, I think.
I hope it's not disturbing the broadcast.
And Bob, thank you for closing the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of see it in, I can't see it actually in the background, but I could see, I thought it was.
It's absolutely pouring, which happens, everyone. We live in the middle of a rainforest. So yeah,
it's going to happen. Yeah, absolutely. Bring some here to Phoenix. We could use it. It's going to be 115 again today.
The thing is, in half an hour, it'll be sunny.
Yeah,
that's sort of like Florida.
Yeah, without the baggage.
Yeah, without the baggage. Oh, the baggage. Oh, my goodness. We don't even want to talk about the baggage anymore. There's too much baggage everywhere.
Yeah.
So tell us, what are the cons of living there?
Well, I do love theater. I'm a theater person. Before I was a doctor, I was a theater person. And so I do go back to the mainland specifically to see theater, New York, usually. And I'm on the advisory board of the David Geffen School of Drama at Yale. So I'm taking a very active part still in theater. That's what I miss the most. And there's a set of friends.
And honestly, I don't think I really miss that much, because my thing is to travel. So I enjoy being here, but then as Rich enjoys theater, I enjoy seeing the world. So actually, by being out here, at least if you want to do anything in the Pacific, like, it is closer in a shorter flight to fly to Sydney, Australia, than it is to fly to New York.
Wow. Yeah.
And when
I love Australia and I love New Zealand.
What's the flight time to Australia?
I think it's about
12?
8 hours. I think
8 hours.
We're not sure. It's
seven and a half to New Zealand, to Auckland. Japan's a little longer. But so, I mean, for traveling in that regard,
it kind of like opens up a new world to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because
when Bob says he likes to travel, he means travel with me.
I should know.
He always
so.
Wants to come along.
I know.
Yes. Yes.
I think one secret to, we talked to some of our contemporaries out here that all moved from somewhere generally on the West Coast. And I think part of it is that, you know, you want to be here, you love being here, but you also know you have some resources that if you want to take a break and go to somewhere where there is all the culture or what have you, that you know you can do it. Doesn't mean you're doing it, but you know you can do it. Because we've been out here 8 years, we have never once on this island had island fever.
I was just going to ask you that question.
Never.
I was once. Like, have... Yeah, so you don't feel like you're secluded on an island, you want to get off. And
there's also so much diversity on this island. If it's raining here, like it's raining now, we want sunshine, we get in the car and go to the other side of the island.
Grab our beach chairs and the cooler and go to the beach on the other side. It takes about an hour and 15, 20 minutes to get there, and you're in sunshine. Mm-hmm.
We want to go hiking. We might go down to the volcano and hike on lava.
Yeah.
Well, hardened lava.
Hardened lava.
not fresh
lava. No. Right. No, you wouldn't want to. Not fresh lava. Cool. So, yeah, that was one of my questions. Like, I don't know if I would get island fever living in a place on an island.
You might get Polynesian paralysis.
Oh, what's that?
We have a friend who comes out here every year from Oakland, and by about the second or third day of his visit, he'll go, "It's happening again." And I'll go, "What?" And he goes, "Polynesian paralysis. I don't want to do a damn thing."
You just want to just do nothing.
Read a book.
That's a good one.
By the waterfall. That's it.
Where's the closest waterfall?
Oh, about 100 yards away.
Oh, my goodness.
Waterfall.
Really?
There's waterfalls all over this side of the island. I mean, it's all the fingers of how the lava flows, you know, over ages ago. And then all of the rain that hits higher up on Mauna Kea just flows down off to the ocean. So there's waterfalls all over the place.
We have a big waterfall and a river that we could swim in just steps away.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Do any of the volcanoes erupt?
At the south end of the island, that's where the ones where you see on the news periodically an eruption or something, that's all at the south end of the island.
The biggest eruption was in 2018 when Kilauea erupted. And that was a big deal. About 700 homes were lost. That was 60 miles away from us.
And we would look out our windows and not have any idea that anything was going on. I mean, the south end of the island is where the island is divided into nine lava zones. the lower the number, the more risk.
Like, oh, what number are you?
We're in number eight. Down at the south end of the island is one and two. And so whenever there is a lava flow, that's where it happens. Let's also go figure where the least expensive real estate is.
Because it's all lava.
Because it's all lava.
So, okay. So where you live in the close vicinity, there's not an active volcano.
No. Never. That's, we never would have.
That's a good thing.
And we have soil as opposed to lava.
Okay. That's a good thing, too.
And the rain just
stopped. The rain stopped and the sun is coming out. See,
there you go. And it's so lush. I see it out there. It's beautiful.
Who are you calling a lush?
Oh. You're both lush. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So how about earthquakes? Do you have experience any earthquakes like you did in San Francisco?
No, not that
Not bad. Not that, that no, bad. Not. Now, when the eruption happened in 2018, there was an earthquake. Yeah.
But generally, every once in a while, you might get a little rattle.
Temblers, they call
it. Yeah, I mean, it's like, but
nothing to write
nothing,
home
nothing
with.
Huge.
See, I'm from New York. We don't get earthquakes generally there too often. So I really never experienced a true rattle. Not that I want to, but.
After 20 plus years in the Bay Area where you get some real rattlers.
Used to it, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Also, but, we're rural, so we're not in buildings where you might feel the effects of a big rattler.
Yeah. Right. Which you're probably better off being in the rural area as well.
Yeah. Well, buildings are going to fall on your head.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So in your home, is your home two stories?
Yes.
Two stories. Okay.
Yeah, we it's pier and pier and post construction, and we have a lot of water on our property, a lot of ponds and streams and rivers, as I mentioned.
That's beautiful.
So the foundation is actually kind of funky. It's basically on a giant snowshoe.
Wow.
So it's got some give in it.
Yeah. So it sort of moves.
Yeah. I forgot to ask, what's the closest airport?
Hilo.
Yeah.
Hilo.
And everything's a half an hour away in Hilo. I mean, all roads lead to Hilo.
I should say Hilo is the second largest city in the state of Hawaii. Honolulu is obviously the first. Hilo is the second. That said, it doesn't have a huge population. I think it's approximately 46,000 people in Hilo proper.
Wow.
Which is, you know, as we say in New York, bupkis.
Right. It's bupkis. Yeah. For being the second largest city, it's just nothing. That's less than a little town in upstate New York could be.
To some degree, yeah.
Yeah.
But yet it has all the services. We have the Home Depot and the Target and the Safeway and all that. What we don't have is Trader Joe. You hear me, Trader Joe?
Hey, Trader Joe, make sure you get to Hilo.
Yeah.
So when you're traveling internationally, do you have to do connections, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it depends. Usually, yes. We fly Hawaiian Airlines or Southwest to Honolulu, and then we have every connection in the world. Mm-hmm. We can also just go to the other side of the island, to Kona. Kona does have some international flights to Japan, I believe, and a couple of other nifty places.
And also direct flights to the mainland. You can't get Hilo to the mainland.
Direct. How do you get to Phoenix?
Go to Honolulu.
Turn left at Albuquerque. you go to Hilo and then go to Honolulu and you fly to Hawaiian Airlines has a direct flight to Phoenix.
Gotcha.
That's how we did it when we met you.
Gotcha. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we did meet in person here in Phoenix through our friends. So it was a pleasure. So, gentlemen, in wrapping up, what would you say to our audience if they're thinking about relocating to Hilo?
Spend time out here first, because you really need to take it all in and come out and visit a couple of times and get beyond, oh, it's Hawaii, oh, there's palm trees, oh, there's beautiful ocean. And truly look at it and go, what would I do here? Would I be happy here? Etc. And so kind of take the tourist glasses off. We had been coming out here twice a year for, I think, 6 years to do that before we made the full-time decision.
And mostly that was based on meeting friends. You've got to have friends out here, and it's easy to meet friends. But if you want to be a hermit, you can do that. That wasn't the lifestyle for us. We wanted to know that when we came here, we were going to have a network. And I don't think we could be happier with our friends and our network.
Yeah, we've been really stunned at the caliber of people that are out here, that are Americans, are New Zealanders,
Australians,
et cetera. Wow.
Also a huge Japanese expat community.
Yeah.
That's excellent. So, Richard, when you came here for the first time on vacation, you were like enamored and said, oh, I love it here. I'm going to buy a place. How quick did that happen? Like from the time that you first landed in Hilo to the time you bought your place?
It was very quick, actually, because what happened is I came out with my friends. We saw their place and we actually decided, the three of us, that we were going to buy a place together. And we put an offer down on a wonderful piece of property, 14 acres with a 100-foot waterfall.
Wow. And
at the last minute, the woman who was selling decided to change her mind. She didn't want to sell. So I came out on my own with my then partner, and we just sort of looked around. And I think I came out originally in June with my friends on vacation, and I bought this place in September of 2006.
That was pretty quick.
Yeah. Didn't take long at all.
Yeah, June to September?
Yep.
It's 3 months. It's like nothing.
Yep.
So, yeah, you did it.
I did it. And I thought, well, I was still working and living in the Bay Area. I knew I wasn't ready to move here at that time. But I figured, well, I'm going to have it in my pocket. If retirement works out here, then wonderful. And if it doesn't, well, okay, I took a chance. And I don't regret it.
No, you took a chance and it worked out very well.
It did.
So, very good. So what you would recommend is make sure that you're not in vacation mode when you come out here. Right. And really think about how life on an island is going to change your life, really, for the future. But
yeah, a couple of kick the tires trips is a good idea.
Yeah.
And there are people who come out here and clearly they haven't thought it through.
Yeah.
And they think they're living in Manhattan or they're moving to San Francisco and they're not going to last here for more than a year. They're going to be unhappy.
Right.
It's not the Bay Area. It's not New York. There's a wonderful community of gay folks here and straight folks and lots of diversity of population. And it's just a great place to live.
Yep. We'll have to visit.
Come on. Bring Alan and David.
Yep. We'll have a party.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, gentlemen. Is there anything else you'd like to add for our audience at all?
I think
you're good.
Yeah,
okay. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise.
Thank you so much for taking the time and talking to the audience about Hilo. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you soon. Okay.
Okay.
Alrighty. Take care.
To it. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.